following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
As we turn our attention to your word, Lord, would you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak and direct our hearts closer to you this morning. Draw us near to you. Help by the power of the Spirit for our eyes to be open to the things of you this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I remember very clearly a number of years ago. I was in college, and I had walked away from the Lord. I was not walking with the Lord at all. I grew up in a Christian home, high school, loved the Lord, and then through my college years, slowly moved away from Him. And I remember very specifically in this one moment, I'm laying in my bed in my apartment. I'm in college, and I'm looking at the ceiling, and I'm like, "Who am I?" I had gotten so far away from Him, and I remember just really feeling like I feel empty, like there's nothing. And I remember I had friends all around me. I had players on my baseball team and people in my life. I had a relationship that was not of God. But I just remember laying there in the bed that night and just feeling like, who have I become? I felt so empty inside. And I know in large part it was because I had just walked away from the thing that was my rock and my foundation and who I was in the Lord. And I just realized, man, I had become someone I'm not. And I remember telling myself that, this is not who you are. And I had looked to a relationship. I had looked to sports. I had looked to working out all the time. I had begun to party all the time. It was ridiculous. And I was looking for that thing to fill me, and I actually knew what it was, but I was just too thick-headed to turn to Him. And I was just doing my own thing. I'm going to keep doing my own thing. And I wonder this morning how many of you have been in that place before. Maybe you were laying in bed, and you just realized, oh, I am so empty. The things that I'm turning to are not filling me. Maybe you're in that place here this morning and you've come to this place, and I believe God has brought you here for a reason. Here's the reason. Cool Ranch Doritos. That's why. Cool Ranch Doritos. No, here's what it is. All other things that we try to fill our lives with are Cool Ranch Doritos. You know, Cool Ranch Doritos are tasty. They're so good. They have all these spices on them. And for a moment, and you can go through a bag pretty quickly, you'll eat that bag and it'll give you temporary satisfaction. But 15 minutes later, you're going to want more Cool Ranch Doritos. You're not going to be filled. You're not going to be satisfied. There are so many things in this life that are Cool Ranch Doritos, that we keep turning to and looking to for significance and purpose and filling, and they never come. I will just tell you, relationships, right? Boyfriend, girlfriend relationships, so easy to look to and say, well, that person will fulfill me, right? They'll fill me up. That will be the significance of my life. That's all I really need. That will fill me. I'm telling you right now, that's Cool Ranch Dorito, right? Here's the other thing. Eventually, possibly, quite possibly, you marry that person and you feel like that person will fulfill me. My husband, he's made to fulfill me. My wife, she's the one that's supposed to fulfill me. I'm telling you, they're not. They're not. That is not the fulfillment that God designed for your husband or your wife, that they would be the all in all for you. And I don't want to call them Cool Ranch Doritos because then I'd get in trouble, but it's Cool Ranch Doritos. That's what they are. How about this? Entertainment, TV, movies, video games. And I know some of you parents are like, yeah, my kids play video games. That's Cool Ranch Doritos for sure. But parents, we have our own thing, the entertainment that we look to. Have you ever said this? I just want to go see a movie so I can escape, so I can just get away for a little while, right? We've said that before. I just want to watch late night TV because that's my bring me down time thing. That's what your kids get through video games. That's what video games are, right? They're that, I just need to escape for a little bit, right? I just need that. And then it becomes an addiction, right? But it's not fulfilling. It's not fulfilling. It's Cool Ranch Doritos. It'll leave you empty in 2 hours. It'll leave you empty at the end of a video game session, 7 hours or however long they play. It'll leave you empty. There's no sustenance there. How about work? Work is great, Cool Ranch Dorito, right? If I just go to work, I'll just plug away. I'll just try to get ahead. Maybe I won't even try to get ahead. I'll just go to work because it takes my mind off things. I just work. And guess what? There is no filling at work. Work is good. We should all work. It's an important part. The Bible's clear on that. We should be people who work, but not for our purpose, our significance, and our filling. There's only one filling for us. And let me just tell you, I believe God designed it in each and every one of us, that there is a hunger that we all have to be filled. It almost like you have a physical stomach that will say, I'm hungry. You have a spiritual stomach that says, I'm hungry. And do you know this? That oftentimes when your stomach tells you hungry, you're actually past hungry. Oftentimes when you get thirsty and you're like, oh, I just need some water, your body is already past thirsty. It's already gone onto the borderline of like, you need to do something, Jeff, quickly. Eat or drink, do something. The same thing is true with our spiritual lives. There are times when we're like, oh, I feel so empty. I'm laying in bed in college feeling like, what is next? What is my purpose? I feel so empty. Jeff, you've already passed empty. You're already on running on fumes. Oftentimes that is true with our relationship with the Lord. God is saying to you, maybe he's saying to you this morning, stop the Cool Ranch Doritos. Stop looking every place else that will not satisfy. I've designed you with the intention of me being the one who satisfies you. In fact, in our text this morning, you can turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Jesus is going to make a powerful, powerful argument that he is the one that was sent to fill us. He is the one who is the answer to our spiritual hunger. Last week, you've heard it said that that a picture is like what? A thousand words. Well, last week's text, this picture that Jesus gives us is more like a million words. Do you remember what he did last week? He fed 5,000 plus people with two fish and five loaves. Incredible, incredible miracle. He does this incredible work in feeding these 5,000 people so that they would remember who he is, so that they would be drawn to who he is. That's an account that would be shared on and on and on throughout history. The feeding of the 5,000, incredible. Important that we note this for our text this morning, that Jesus didn't just feed them. Do you remember? He filled them. Jesus didn't just feed them, he filled them. It says that they ate and they ate until they couldn't eat anymore. And there were leftovers. The disciples gathered 12 baskets of leftovers. Jesus wants us to know that he is in the business of filling, not just feeding. He is there to fill for our text this morning. That is going to be so important. Do you remember also what the crowd that day wanted to do? They wanted to what? Make him king. Oh, if he can feed 5,000 people on just such a little bit of food, then let's make this guy our king. He must be sent from God. Maybe he's the one that's going to overthrow Rome. And so they go to snatch Jesus up, and Jesus escapes because Jesus knows that he's not to be the earthly king that they are looking for. Not, they want him for their own purposes. They want to fit him into their own box. And Jesus says, no. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here for a much, much bigger purpose, not just for the Jews of the first century, but for people, all people, for all time. Throughout history, I am the eternal king. And so Jesus is going to talk about that here this morning. Look at John chapter 6. And so here we are. He just fed the 5,000. And here we are in John 6, verse 22. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. We're on the side of the shore where he had just fed the 5,000. They're looking for Jesus. They don't see him. The boat that the disciples had gotten in is now gone. And they're wondering, where did he go? He fed 5,000 people. We want to see more Jesus. Where is he? Look what it says here in verse 23. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. So other boats are starting to show up. They probably heard that Jesus is there. There's 5,000 plus people. They want to see Jesus at work. Verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Jesus was not to be found in that place, so they go looking for him. And this brings us to the text. That's the setting for our text this morning. Look at verse 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Do you remember how we got there? Do you remember from last week? The disciples set out on the boat onto the sea. Who do they see walking out onto the water? Jesus. He walked across, but he didn't even tell them that. He kind of just left that for the disciples to share, right? How did you get here, Jesus? He wasn't like, well, I walked on the water, right? No, he's like, listen, I want to cut right into the most important thing that the multitude needed to know that morning. Based on the feeding, the filling of the 5,000, here's what you need to know. Look what he says in 26. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You come seeking me not because I'm the Christ or the Messiah or the Son of God. You don't come for those reasons. You come because you want breakfast, is what he's saying. You want me to fill your stomach up again. You want the temporary satisfaction of having a filled stomach. That's why you've traveled all the way across the lake and probably were looking all around that morning for me. But listen to what he says in 27. This is exhortation to them. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. You are looking for temporary satisfaction, he says to them that morning. He's got the crowd. He's got the masses. He says, you came over just to get breakfast, and you're looking for that temporary filledness, the feeling of filledness. But you're looking right past the one who has the opportunity to give you an everlasting filledness. You're spinning your wheels and seeking after those things that are temporary, and you're wearing yourselves out, and you're missing the point. You're missing who I truly am. Your desire for the temporary satisfaction is in fact clouding your view of who I truly am. Your desire to come and get breakfast is actually causing you to miss the point of who I really am. Think about it for a minute. What if the things that we are filling our life with, the Cool Ranch Doritos, the entertainment, what if all these things that we temporarily satisfy our hunger with is actually preventing us from seeing the Son of God for who he really is and worshiping him and loving him? What if every time we sense that hunger, we fill it with something temporary instead of saying, God, I'm going to turn to you. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to stop all the temporary satisfaction and instead turn my heart over to you. Listen, this comes from the Son of Man. Look at our text. This comes from the Son of Man. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. Why? Why is Jesus the one? Why is Jesus so qualified to give us this everlasting life, this fulfilling, filled life? Here's why. Because God the Father has set his seal on him. Because God the Father has set his seal on him. What's a seal? It was back in the day, they would put a stamp, a seal, a wax stamp, maybe on an envelope. Or if I was in the grain business and I shipped you some grain, I would put my seal on that grain so that you would know that inside that grain, it's all verified. It's all guaranteed. It's all good. My name is on that seal. That you know it's backed by someone who is honorable and trustworthy. So when you got the grain, you would know it's quality goods. The same thing is true of what God is saying of the Son of Man, of the Son of God here, of Jesus. He's saying, he's got my seal. He is the one who's uniquely qualified to hand out everlasting life. He is the one who is the one that will fulfill you and fill you. He has my seal. Look at John 5:19. You're right there in John 6. Just flip over to John 5, verse 19. It says this, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner.'" He's got the seal. "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all the things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." 21. "Listen, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." Listen, Jesus is the Son who's uniquely qualified, uniquely certified, uniquely sealed to hand out everlasting life, to be the one that fills. So the question is, if Jesus is so important, where does he sit in your life? Where does he sit in our life? If Jesus is that one who is sealed, who can fill us and give us everlasting life, where does Jesus sit in our life? Is he filling you? Or have we gone to a different filling station? Have we looked to jobs, the busyness of life? Have we looked to sports? Have we overvalued entertainment? Have we looked to drugs and alcohol? What are the things that we turn to say, "I just need that temporary satisfaction"? Maybe we've even looked to, and again, I love marriage. Marriage is an amazing thing, but it's not the thing. Maybe we've looked to our spouses to say, "You are the one that needs to fulfill me." And instead, God would say, "No, no, no, there's one person who fulfills, the Son of Man. He is the one who gives everlasting life." How much time are we laboring for temporary relief and satisfaction when Jesus says, "Just look to me. Just trust me"? To which then their response that morning, as he's talking to the multitudes, they ask a really great question, and probably one that you would ask as well. Listen to what they say in verse 28. "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?'" John 6:28. "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?'" How do we get this? Jesus, whatever you're passing out, everlasting life, whatever, we want that. That's what we want. Listen to what Jesus says in 29. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." That morning, as he says, listen, he's talking about everlasting life and this enduring life and being filled. They're thinking, "Yeah, we want that. What do we have to do in order to get it? What kind of works must we work?" And I imagine in their context, they're thinking, should we go to synagogue more, right? Do we give more to the synagogue? Do we give more to church? If I start treating my neighbor better, is that the work that I do? What do I have to do? What, Jesus, tell us this morning, what do we need to do in order to obtain this thing, this amazing thing that you're talking about of everlasting life? What does he say the work is? Believe in him whom God sent. Here's the work this morning. Believe in him whom God sent. If you want everlasting life, if you want to be filled, he's saying believe. That's the ticket in. Put your faith in, believe in the one in whom God has sent. Believe in Jesus. That is how we receive the fulfillment. The Bible is clear on this, right? All throughout the text, we see this. Abraham, way back in the Old Testament, the Bible says that Abraham was made righteous by what? Faith. He was made, had right standing by faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. And many of you know it. "For by grace you have been saved through" what? "Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Lest anyone could go to God and say, well, I did enough, so I've earned this. And that's not at all what God is saying. In fact, he says the way in, what works must we do, Jesus? Jesus is very clear. He says, believe. That is the work that you must do. Have faith in me. You're right there in John 6, John 5. Go back to John 5, verse 24. John 5, verse 24. Listen to what Jesus says. Catch this. Most assuredly, I say to you, truly, truly is another way to say it. Truly, truly, I say to you, this is really true. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment on that final day. I added that final day, but that's what he's talking about. Judgment. Will not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Catch this. Jesus, in his own words, says it is through belief in me and in the one who has sent me that gives you everlasting life. And in this moment of belief, you will pass from death, eternal, to eternal life. Not through the works that you perform. What works must we do, Jesus? No. Not works. Not works. Belief. The work that you must do is to believe in him whom he has sent. Which is why we love Jesus. Which is why one of Refuge's mottos is it's all about Jesus. Because should we ever turn from that, we turn to a different gospel, to a different faith. It's all about Jesus. It's what you do with Jesus that matters, which is why it is so important. We don't get moved off our shift, our foundation, because a culture that says, listen, you can believe what you want. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. There are lots of different ways to God. That's not what the text teaches. Listen, that's not even what Jesus is teaching. And people will say, we love Jesus. We don't like the church. We love Jesus because he just loved everybody. That's true. He did love everybody. But he still had a message. And the message was, this is the work that you must do. Believe in him whom he has sent. Believe in him and you will have everlasting life. Very clearly, the text that we turn to each and every week and we look at teaches that Jesus is, listen, the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through who? Him. But through Jesus. So Jesus is saying, listen, this is amazing. This is incredible. I have the multitudes. I'm teaching them truth. So listen to what their response to him then is. Verse 30. Therefore, they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. How dare you, right? What if you were Jesus that day? You had just fed 5,000 plus people. And now these people come up and they want breakfast. And they're like, all right, let's do it again, Jesus. Like, let's show us what you can do. And he says, listen, here's the work that you must do to endure to eternal life, is that you must believe in me. And they say, prove it. Do something, right? Show us who you really are. I would have been like, you were there yesterday. I fed 5,000 people plus with 2 fish and 5 loaves. I think I've gained some importance maybe. What they're really saying here is if you're greater than Moses, and Moses, hey, he made the manna come down every day while our forefathers were in the desert. He provided for them every day. Jesus, we're ready. Like, breakfast is ready. Make it come down. Moses could do it. Jesus, can you do it? That's what they're really saying. If you're greater than Moses, make it rain manna right now. Produce that physical food right now. To which Jesus responds, look at verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, or most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Here he goes again with his idea of my Father, which was blasphemy to the Jews. In fact, a couple chapters ago, he said, my Father. And they said, let's kill him. He puts himself on the level with God. And so here again, he kind of slides it in again. He says, my Father is the one who gives the true bread from heaven. 33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Again, their mindset is Moses got it every single day. Those Israelites in the desert, they got it every day. Give us this bread every day, Jesus. And he's saying, listen, you're missing the point. Number one, Moses didn't give your forefathers the bread. He was a tool. He was a vessel used by God to provide that bread. It was my Father in heaven who was providing the bread. And it was temporary because look around, he would have said to them. Moses is not around anymore. Look around. The manna, it's gone. In fact, it was gone in a day in Israel with the Israelites as they traveled through the desert. It would only last for a short time. He says, I come to bring you the true bread from heaven. Same source, my heavenly Father, same source. But this bread, it lasts forever. For eternity, forever, forever. Not just for a moment, not just a brief satisfaction, but something that you can hold on to that will endure until eternity. That is the true bread from heaven. And notice what he says here, verse 33. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven. It's no longer bread. It's no longer wonder bread, right? It's not physical bread. It's now a he who comes down from heaven. Whoa, shift of thinking. Jesus goes from being the distributor of the bread to being the bread himself. There's a transition that takes place here in our text. It's a big statement that now God is providing some other sort of bread. It's a he. And that bread, if you take it in, will God give you eternal life, will give you eternal satisfaction in him. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 35. And Jesus said to them, let's check it out. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus says, listen, this temporary stomach satisfaction that will only last for the next, till the next meal, that will go away. Listen, the thing I'm coming to bring you will allow you to never hunger and to never thirst. I am the bread of life. The text there in 35 says, I am. He uses the word, Jesus uses, I am. Again, it would have been blasphemy to the Jews. Because if we look back in the Old Testament, there's a moment where Moses is in talking to this burning bush and God is in this bush. And Moses is like, well, who should I say sent me? And God says, Tell them I am sent you. Jesus is actually going to, through John, use I am statement six more times. He uses it seven times in the statement of John. What he's saying is, the Father and I, we are one. We're united on this front. I have the unique seal of God on my life. I have come with a purpose. I am the bread of life. He will also say, I'm the door to the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We'll see that as we travel through John. Jesus is making a huge statement here. The thing I come to bring will not just last for a moment. Instead, it will last for eternity and will provide forever fulfillment. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. There's another time Jesus used some of the same terminology. There was another time that Jesus talked about a filling that would go on that led to everlasting life. John chapter 4, he's talking to the woman at the well. And look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you what? Living water. What's living water? Is that a new like bottled water, right? This is living water? No, listen what he says. Verse 11, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then did you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, looking at the physical water. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Sounds like our text this morning. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain water springing up into everlasting life. Again, our text this morning. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw from this well." She's like, if you have that, and I don't have to keep making this trek back and forth to the well, then I want that living water. The same thing is true of our text this morning. That when they heard it, they're like, give us this bread always. Still mentally thinking, like, I will never be hungry. That's an amazing gift, right? I will never be physically thirsty. Oh, give me that. And Jesus saying, you're missing it. Listen, I have something that's better than that. That's better than you feeling physically full or physically unthirsty. I have something that will satisfy you, that when you're in college someday and you're laying in your bed at night and you're thinking to yourself, where in the world am I, what am I missing? Where do I turn? I feel empty. I feel so spiritually lost. That Jesus would say, Jeff, turn to me. Come back to me again. Walk with me for the first time. Put your hope and your faith and trust in me. This is how you receive physical or spiritual nourishment. Believe on him whom he has sent. Believe in Jesus. Now, I will just tell you, at one point maybe in your life, you gave your life to the Lord, and there was this moment of filling. And maybe you've, I hope those of you who have put your trust in Christ have experienced that. For me, it was when I came back to the Lord again and I got into his word and I was being filled. I was just like, whoo, I could not get enough of it. It was exciting and life-giving. And it was so, it was incredible. I hope at some level, prayerfully, you've experienced that. He said, but listen, sometimes we get off track. We take our focus off him and we begin to sense that again. Even as believers, there's a sense of, I feel dry. I feel spiritually unhealthy. And I would just tell you this morning, if that's you, then focus back on the one who said, I am the one who's supposed to give you that nourishment. Focus your attention back on Christ again. Go back to, this is the key, treasuring him again. Go back to saying, you are the most important person in my life. You are so much better than anything else in my life. Yes, I love my spouse, but Christ, you are better than my spouse. Jesus, you are better than any type of entertainment that I could temporarily satisfy myself with. I need to go back to him again and be filled by him. If you're struggling and you're a believer, turn your heart back to him again. Walk with him again. Treasure him again. Why? Because he's got God's seal on him. He's certified by God to be the one that gives that life. He's got the provision. He's got the ability. He's the sustainer of life. He's the giver of eternal life. Now, here's the reality. Not everybody's going to do that. It's an incredible thing. Next Sunday, there will be people who fill this building, and there will be people at Marina High School who fill this building who will hear the word of God and then just go back to their old lives again. Because even in our text here, this is Jesus, the Son of God, preaching the gospel of God to them, saying, just believe in me, trust in me, I will fill you. And there, even in this day, with the multitude that day, look at verse 36. But I said to you that you have seen me, you've seen Jesus, the Son of God, and yet do not believe. Even in the multitude that day, even after seeing, and you would think 5,000 plus people get fed, that there would be something about this Jesus guy that lends me to want to believe him. And yet, he says that day with the multitudes, he's like, there are people here who are hearing me, who are feeling the tug of the Lord on their heart, and they're saying, no. He says, there are people who see me and yet do not believe. They have seen the Son of God, the Bible says, the exact representation of the Father. They have seen him, and yet they don't want anything to do with him. Their hearts are hard towards him. They're stuck in the temporary, looking at the now. How will you feed us, Jesus? What will you do to satisfy our physical needs? And Jesus is saying, listen, those are important, right? But listen, I've got more important things. I've got eternity on my mind and on my heart. The question is that to you today? Have you lost Christ as your treasure? Or maybe for the first time, you've never heard the idea that the Lord wants to come in and satisfy the hunger of your life. Maybe that's you this morning, and Jesus would have you not walk away from this place in unbelief. He would call you to say, listen, believe, put your trust in me. Listen to verse 37, and listen to what he says. This is the other side of that coin. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. I'm ready to receive you, is what he's saying. To the multitudes that day, I believe to Refuge this morning. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Listen, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. 40. And this is the will of God. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the will of God. If you ever wondered, man, maybe God's against me, right? Maybe God is working against me. Maybe I'm being punished. Maybe I'm fill in the blank. And that's why I don't have anything to do with Christianity or this God thing, right? I don't want anything to do with it. Maybe because you've always felt, because someone told you that God is against you. But here in verse 40, it says, the will of God is that you would believe in the Son and that you would have this incredible gift of everlasting life. Can I tell you the most incredible thing about everlasting life? I mean, I don't know a ton about it, right? There's still so many things that blow my mind about spending eternity in a place with the living God. That's an incredible reality. And not, consequently, spending time separated from him in a place that the Bible talks about as hell. It's an incredible gift, eternal life. But here's the thing that's so incredible about it, and if you needed something to take with you this morning, is this. If I believe in the Son of God, then guess what? Eternity is given to me. That I've already passed from death to life, as our text said this morning. That if you believe in me, you have already passed from death, eternal separation from God, to life, eternity with him. I've already done it. So then I live the rest of my days out on this earth with the hope of heaven on my mind, with the confidence of knowing that God is for me and not against me. That when I mess up, because I do, when I fall, because I do, then I get back up and I say, I know where my treasure lies. It lies in the hope of heaven through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who I believe died on a cross and rose again because he loved me and demonstrated the power over death. That's the hope that I live with, that I know my God, that I have a relationship with him, and I live with the hope of eternity on my heart. Because God, here in verse 40, is for me and not against me. His will is that all would believe on the Son of God and be saved. Amen? So next week, we have this awesome opportunity to call people to this place or to Marina High School, and they're going to hear that gospel. They're going to hear what it takes to be in relationship with the living God, the one that you, many of you, know this morning. And some of you will need to go back to him again, because as we looked at this and we saw Cool Ranch Doritos, you thought, man, I have been eating too many Cool Ranch Doritos. I've been spending too much time on the things that don't matter, and I need to spend more time on my Lord and Savior and treasuring him and loving him and stay away from the Cool Ranch, right? And some of you, maybe the first time, are hearing that we have filled our lives with so many things, and maybe that's you, and this morning is the morning that you'll say, I want a taste of heaven. I want a taste of what it's like to walk with Jesus. I want to step into a relationship with him. And God says, I'm going to make it really easy. Believe in him. Turn your life over him. Turn away from your old life and turn to Jesus and walk with him. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you Thank you for your word that points to you, which points to eternal life, which points to faith and trust in Jesus. Where else would we go? Where else would we turn for this reality and this truth but to you, Lord? And this morning, as we've looked at your text and we've listened to the words of your Son, believe in me. Believe in me. Trust in me. Put your faith in me. Put your life into my hands. Lord, as we've turned to that, we've heard it. Lord, we have a decision to make. Will we do it? Will we do it? Will we treasure the living God? Will we treasure Christ? I pray that by the power of your Spirit, that you would do that in us, that you'd work that out in us, that you would call us to love you more and more, deeper and deeper. God, we thank you for the grace that you bestow upon us. I am not worthy of this truth. I know that, Lord. I am not worthy of this truth. Someone who at one point in my life turned my back on you and lived a completely different life than what you called me to, I know I'm not worthy to walk with you and spend eternity with you. But according to your word, it says by grace you are saved through faith. My life, Lord, is now yours, and I'm filled because of you. Lord, would you do that at Refuge this weekend? Turn our eyes to you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.